Blog Talk Radio.
You read about Samson and you read about his birth. He was the strongest man that ever lived on earth. One day of Samson, he was walking alone. He looked down on the ground and he saw an old jawbone. And he lifted up that jawbone and he swung it over his head. When he got to moving, 10,000 was dead. If I had my way.
Golf, if you play tennis or whatever you do, you have to make time for sex.
Yes, I agree. If I had my way, you know I'd be doing. No. Anyway, what a way to kick off the Friday show. Hey, welcome. It's Andy and Amanda's Friday? No? Is it? No, it's not the Friday.
Nearly. What, I think it's wishful thinking.
Here I was getting ready for the Freaky Friday show, and it's it's Wednesday. What am I doing?
Yes.
Why did I think it was the Friday show? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. Maybe you've got that Friday feeling, Andy.
I got that Friday feeling. deep in my heart. Hey, how's everybody doing? This is Andy Kimball. We got Amanda Love over in the UK, 8,000 miles away from me. I'm in Hollywood. She's 2 hours outside of London looking there at the Swanee River or whatever it is there she's looking down at. And we're here for next hour to present something. Hopefully you'll enjoy our insights and perspectives on today's news and what's going on in life and talk about things that we eat or things that we shouldn't eat. Romance, love, sex, all that good stuff. You know what I mean? Here on the Andy and Amanda Show. You're welcome to join us anytime during the next hour by calling 515-605-9888. That's how you get in touch with the show here while we're live. You can also email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. Now that that's all done with, you don't really have to.
Absolutely.
Call. Now that that's done with, how you doing? Good. Good.
Oh,
good afternoon. Good evening.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Well,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
How's my internet hubby doing? All good?
All good.
Fantastic.
I told you this off the show last. Whatever it is, last show we did Monday, and I said I'd repeat it on the show because it should be heard when I asked my wife, And I was talking to Cornell, our show coordinator, and I said, you know, we were just talking on the phone. And just, you know, my wife was in another room, and I yelled over to her. I said, hey, Sue. She said, yeah. I said, do you mind me having an internet wife? And she said, I'm thankful. Yeah. I'm thankful. So she sends her thanks to you, oh. Amanda. Thank
oh,
you.
Bless her. I adore mm-hmm. her. She sounds like such a funny lady.
Yeah,
oh,
you know,
bless
you know,
yeah. Catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, catastrophe. Yeah. I've known a few of those.
Yeah.
Wow, though, what a week it's been so far. I mean, it's been crazy. Like as I said to you a little earlier, there's been some like crazy stuff in the news with everything that's gone. Do you remember? I was telling you and our listeners about Sarah Everard, who went missing. Vaguely, yeah.
And I remember because I was reading about it, and I was going to bring it up, and I'm glad that you did. But
oh,
go ahead. There's something, yes.
Yeah, so it really disturbed me. It's one of those cases that disturbed me. Sorry,
provide a recap because a lot of folks are just joining us or don't, you know, it was a while back when you were talking about that. But bring us up to speed and what exactly that story entails so then we'll talk about what happened. Yeah,
no problem. So Sarah Everard was this beautiful 33-year-old lady who was walking back from her friend's place at roughly, I think it was about 9 o'clock at night. And her boyfriend was getting worried. And reported her missing the next day. And nobody had seen or heard from her. They went door to door asking questions, obviously, whereabouts. And they arrested a police officer in connection. Okay, this guy was, I think he was on patrol for something, like a private property or something nearby. And he wasn't meant to be on duty that night. So they you know, they arrested him. They did PC Wayne Cousins, his name was. And so they arrested him. He was on suspicion of kidnapping her, blah, blah, blah. So it's now come to light that he's pleaded guilty for kidnapping her and raping her and then dumping her body in a woodland, I think, which she was found on the 10th. So she went missing on the 3rd of March. And her body was found on the 10th of March. So now he's pleaded to these two charges. But they're still looking at the evidence, medical reports and stuff.
This beautiful girl who's a marketing director of a company, I forget which company. But anyway, was walking, as you said, and this guy just came up and swiped her off the street or something and ended up strangling her.
They're a little shady as to all the exact details.
I
think more is
going
to come to light because they're literally just given like specifics, which is what they did when she went missing and pretty much now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
You know what's interesting? You know. Here's what's interesting about that. As a matter of fact, I was talking, I think, with a bunch of people here not long ago about we've been having in the past month, we've had an incredible spike in shootings and mass shootings and shootings where more than one people gets killed by gun. And we were talking, you know, how often do you hear of murder, especially by gun, but any murder?
Yeah.
In the UK, it's just not – I'm sure it happens. I'm sure there are, you know, domestic violence issues and this. I'm sure, you know, you live there. You know more than I do, obviously. But it's something that you just don't hear a whole lot about. If you go to the BBC website, if you go to the London Times, you know, you go to the newspaper sites of UK newspapers, and you just don't see a lot of headlines about people getting killed, people being murdered there. It happens. It happens all over the world. But you just don't – here in the United States – It's like you scan all the major papers in every major city and you see somebody gets killed, shot, drive-by shootings, this one, kids, you know, a lot of kids, moms, you know, people, innocent people in cars. You know, I don't know if you heard about it over there, but, you know, in right here, not far from me on the 55, which is a highway that's in Orange County, a young mom was driving her 6-year-old son, adorable little boy named Aiden, to kindergarten. And she was switching from the carpool lane to a regular lane, and somebody in a Volkswagen Golf vehicle, a white Volkswagen Golf, cut her off. And he gave the woman driver a gesture, and the male passenger, the male riding in the car, began to shoot at this at their car. Bullets went through the trunk and pierced the booster seat that the 6-year-old was occupying. I shot him in the stomach, and he was killed.
Oh, my goodness.
And
that's dreadful.
That happened just, you know, a couple weeks ago. They did arrest, and they found the people involved in that, the young 24-year-old boy and his 23-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Aside from that, I mean, I could open up any, you know, let our listeners do it on their own. That you don't need me to do that, you know. But go to any news organization. I don't care what your favorite website, newspaper, magazine, or broadcast station is, and scan over the murders that occur in this country by guns. And people say, oh, it's not the guns, it's the people. If you take the, you know, how often? Okay, there's no guns except, you know, a certain level of police officers and so forth in the UK, and people who have them illegally, which isn't huge population, but it's there. We know that. Okay, it's not like it doesn't exist. But compare the gun violence in this country with every country, every other country in the world, in the entire planet Earth. And, it's the people, it's not the guns. We take the guns out of their hands, and guess what happens? Or if we just make it harder to get a gun, I'm like, you know, and here's the interesting thing. In this country, we have the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms. But, you know, that's not the Second Amendment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, actually, I've got some statistics for you regarding the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So recorded firearm offences, and this is closest I can get to date, in the year ending 31st of March 2019. Was a total of 6,759 firearm offences recorded in England and Wales, which was an increase of 4% back then. And it says on this graph that violence against the person was 2,374, and that was with non-air firearm offences, and 411 air firearm offences. Criminal damage was 500 with none, and 1,935 with air firearm. And robbery was 1,752 non-air firearm and 35 with air firearm. So I'm not quite sure what the difference is between a non-air firearm and the air firearm. That is something I need to check out. But I mean, as I said, it's going on illegally in this country. I dread to think what it is now, what the statistics are now, but that would be another interesting fact to find out, because, you know, that's something that does concern me.
In this country, there's been over 40,000 firearm-related deaths.
Yeah.
You go back to 2019, it was 39,707. The low was 2000 when it went down to 28,663 people died from firearms. I feel like I'm reading COVID deaths here. These are people who were killed by guns, you know. Unbelievable. And the, you know, even the age, you know, 20 to 34 is the dominant, you know, age range for being killed. But it's just, you know, compare that with what you just said.
I mean, I expected it to be higher. Sorry.
I want to go back to the Second Amendment for a minute in this country, which was ratified in 1791. 1790. Stay tuned. The Andy and Amanda Show. Okay, Andy, get your facts straight. 1791 by the U.S. Congress, where this amendment was born, and the text of the Second Amendment, to be precise and exact, reads, quote, a well-regulated militia. Let's talk about that for a second. A well-regulated militia. We didn't have police forces and armies and CIAs and Homeland Securities and FBIs and Secret Service and, you know, blah, blah, blah then, right? So a militia, a group, you know, remember the Westerns where the sheriff would round up people in the town and form a posse and go get the bad guys? A militia, right? Okay.
Yeah.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. All right? Again, a well-regulated militia. Not a person who can keep an aircraft rifle in his, or whatever you call it, an attack, an assault weapon, an AR-15 in his garage. right?
Yeah.
We're talking about a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure a free state. In other words, to protect the state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Nowhere, or you tell me if I'm wrong, where does it say in that, what I just read, and that is the text of the Second Amendment. That is the text. Where does it say that anybody can just keep a gun?
Wow.
You tell me where that is in there, folks. 515-605-9888. Give me a call.
Yes.
Give us a call.
This
Let
has
us know.
Been
Email
argued
us.
So many times as well about the amendments and guns.
I would like a textual description, in other words, by email, of your interpretation of the Second Amendment, if it's different from what I just said. If it's not what I just read, you tell me what it is. You tell me where in that Second Amendment, anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'll read it again. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yeah.
The framers of
this. I'd be interested to hear that. Very
the Bill of Rights, it would. They adopted the wording of the amendment from nearly identical clauses in some of the original 13 state constitutions. In other words, the wording in each individual state at the time, there were 13 of them, was almost identical to what was adopted to be the Second Amendment, state by state by state by state. See, during the Revolutionary War era, militia referred to groups of men who banded together to protect the communities and towns and colonies and eventually, of course, they all became states. So once the United States declared its independence from Great Britain in 1776.
Yeah, I've heard it all before, Andy. I've heard it all before.
See, the thing is, many people in America, I think, at the time, believed governments used soldiers to oppress the people and thought that the federal government should only be allowed to raise armies with full-time paid salaried soldiers, you know, like we have to say, when facing foreign adversaries. For all the purposes they believed, it should turn part-time militias or ordinary civilians using their own weapons. Because, again, they didn't, you know, they had state militias. They had groups of people, like sometimes characterized in the old Western movies that we see and so forth, right? But as militias have proven insufficient, obviously, against the Brits, the Constitutional Convention gave the new federal government the power to establish a standing army even in peacetime.
Wow.
That's what happened. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say, you know, and then we get into why does anybody have an assault weapon designed to kill? Well, you and I talked about this. God, I don't know, a lot of times. Why does somebody need to have an AR-50, whatever, 15 and you know, various assault-type weapons in the garage and living with to stare at them? You're going to go out and hunt with them? You need to kill deer with one? They're designed to kill people. That's what they're designed for, to maim and kill.
Yeah, this is true.
So
I think it makes people powerful.
Yeah. I think that we, as citizens of this country, have the ability and the power to say, let's dive into the Second Amendment and exercise what it really states, which does not give. It doesn't – here's the thing. It doesn't say that anybody can have a firearm. You know, there's no amendment that says you can't have a firearm.
Yeah.
It says a well-regulated militia should not be infringed. But at the same time, there's no wording that says you can't do that.
Right.
Huh. So this is one of these deals, as we dive into it here on the Andy Mander Show, where if we really read into it, the right to bear a firearm regarding and pertaining to what's written in the Second Amendment is true but not accurate.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But not accurate.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why it's so debated. And when you have a organization like the NRA that is so powerful, that has so many politicians in their pockets, provides so much money to back certain political causes and campaigns – it's difficult, and they want everybody, you know, hey, go out, you know, they represent everybody who has a gun. Hey, it's my right to have a gun.
Yeah.
Where in the Second Amendment to say you have the right to have a gun, isolated private citizen? Where does it say that you can have a gun? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Where does it say that individual citizens can't have guns? Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that.
No, it's interesting actually to hear what the big boys would argue on that regarding the amendment. Because, like I said a little earlier, this argument has been brought forth so many times from people, and someone's always got a clever way to argue it. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, because everyone's got their own take on it. But, you know, legally speaking,
mm-hmm.
how they could interpret that for their own benefit. I mean, you know, the people who are providing these weapons, they're selling these weapons, you know, government are backing this, clearly. And mm-hmm. so, you know, money talks, right? And I know I've said this about previous things on the show before, but mm-hmm. money talks. Mm-hmm. And it's such a huge industry, and that will not just disappear because it's funding so many things. And that's so sad. And all these people are dying, you know, and I can't imagine it ever being taken away. And, the people would be in uproar in your country being denied that right, that their freedom to do such things has been taken away. That they, I guess people who want to be violent will find other ways to be violent. And those who will protect themselves will find other ways to protect themselves. You know, there's all sorts of ways to protect ourselves that we don't need guns. However, I understand mm-hmm. that if somebody's coming at you with a gun, you stand a better chance of survival if you shoot them first before they shoot you. Sure, I get that. And it was the state of the country is in, you need that protection. And I get that too, but something has to be done somewhere to change this. Surely, for the better.
Yeah.
And something can be done.
It's gotten way
sure.
out of, it's gotten out of hand. It's just gotten crazy. Yeah. It's just gotten,
It's
we're
sad. We're,
Amanda and I are out to our missions to solve the problems of the world, which we obviously can't do. But at least we can speak about them and raise them as voices of concern here. And that's what we do here on the Andy and Amanda Show. And again, you can join our program by dialing 515-605-9888. We'd love to hear your opinions, your thoughts, your ideas on anything, on your relationship, on the coronavirus, on politics, on Joe Biden, on Donald Trump's emergence. Speaking of Donald Trump's emergence.
What's that?
I happen to have. He's out speaking. Or at least he did speak.
He's always speaking about something.
He's always speaking about something. Yes, we have. I think somehow we got it, but we have a little speech here. I think somewhere that he's out speaking again. You know, Trump is out doing it to it one more time. He's out speaking. And, you know, he's saying how the country is falling apart before our very eyes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I don't see mm-hmm. how that's happening, but okay.
Let's take a listen. And we had to get this delivered a special way here, and it slightly altered his voice, I think. We'll see. But due to technology, we're able to decipher and hear exactly what he had to say. But take a listen. This is the former president of the United States.
Gathered tonight, our country is being destroyed before our very own eyes. Crime is exploding. Police departments are being ripped apart and defunded. Can you believe that? Is that good politics? Defund our police? Number one, it's bad for our country, but think of it. Defund our police. You know, I've long said, they're vicious. They're violent. They, in many cases, hate our country. And they have bad policy. Now, the bad news from our standpoint, they stick together. They don't have some of the people like we have, where they go on their own and they do what they have to. They stick together. And that's the one thing they have. They stick together. But their policy is so bad. And we're going to have a tremendous 2022, just like we did, frankly, 2020. Think of it. More votes than any sitting president in the history of the United States, by far. We had a great election. Bad things happened, but we had a great election. But they're starting to heal. The media, the Democrats, and the so-called experts are now finally admitting what I first said 13 months ago. The evidence demonstrates that the virus originated in a Chinese government lab. Couldn't say it. You couldn't say it. And Dr. Fauci, who I actually got along with, he's a nice guy. He's a great promoter, you know? Not a great doctor, but he's a hell of a promoter.
He's a fine doctor, and it has not yet been proven that the coronavirus was originated in a lab. That's just speculation has not been proven.
almost every issue, and he was wrong on Wuhan and the lab also, very wrong. And we ended the payments, you know, they were started in 2014, and then I can tell you Mark Meadows came in, and I talked to him, and he saw what I saw, and I said, what the hell's going on? When did that start? Started in 2014, and we ended it. Our administration ended it. But generally speaking, I went the opposite way of Dr. Fauci, what he was saying. For instance, Fauci said, do not close our borders to China.
And 590,000 people died.
Later, he said, I made the right decision and saved thousands and thousands of lives. He said it was the right decision, but he did not want to close that border. I said, wait a minute, there's tremendous infection over there. We can't let this happen. And we closed it, and I think we saved hundreds of thousands of lives. You remember the number was 2.2 million people in our country who were expected to die. Fauci said powerfully at the beginning, no masks. You remember that? No, masks don't work, masks don't work. And then he went into masks, and then he became a radical masker. I would call it. If you have three, if you have four, get a pair of goggles also, ideally. And let's wear them for another 5 or 6 years. But Fauci has perhaps never been more wrong than when he denied the virus and where it came from. The time has come for America and the world to demand reparations and accountability from the Communist Party of China. We should all declare within one unified voice that China must pay. They must pay. The 2020 presidential election, that election, the 2020 presidential election was by far the most corrupt election in the history of our country. There's never been anything like that.
It was the safest, the most accurate, the most secure election in our country's history.
It was the third world country election like we've never seen before. Look at what took place. I want to congratulate, by the way, Republican state senators in Arizona and other places for their great work that they are doing in exposing this fraud. And maybe, again, I have nothing to do with the Arizona situation. They're doing it, the state senate of Arizona, because there are so many discrepancies, so many problems.
It was done three times. It was recounted three times. Three independent organizations. Most of those organizations were composed of Republican officials and senators and secretaries of state, and found to be very accurate.
Maybe not. And now they're looking at it in Pennsylvania, and they're looking at it in Georgia, and they're looking at it in many other states, because they're saying, you know, the same things happened to us. That election will go down as the crime of the century, and our country is being destroyed by people who perhaps have no right to destroy it.
I don't know. Can you hear any more of this? I don't know.
No.
There's more.
Well, I mean, he's jumping to major conclusions then, isn't he? He's basically hearing what's been reported in the media about that virus coming from the lab, because as I mentioned on the show the other day, that's what was in the news about that, the whistleblower.
Yeah.
Talking about that, so that's been brought to light again, and he's now using that as a great tactic to win people over again. That is clear. But I don't see what he sees. Am I missing something?
Well, let's see if we'll put him back in and see if he doesn't have a lie. He's catching the lie here.
Well, I guess it's human nature. But we can't let our country be run by that kind of human nature, can we? Zuckerberg, it's another beauty.
This is the way he talks.
But they say they may allow me back in 2 years. No, I'm not too interested in that. They may allow me back in 2 years. We got to stop that. We can't let it happen. So unfair. Not just me. They're shutting down the voice of a tremendously powerful, in my opinion, a much more powerful.
Shutting down his voice. Thank God.
Right.
Unreal. So Trump's got some issues. Let's dive right into this guy. One lie after another lie after another lie after another lie. He has not stopped. And, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, right now, you know, as we've talked about here with the New York Attorney General, the district, the lower Manhattan district, they have his tax returns and they are, you know, doing things. You know, they're doing things.
They're hugging and kissing.
I don't know about that.
Oh. Well, good for them, I say. Good for them. Why not?
Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just craziness. I mean, that view nobody is the right one.
Thank you.
Yes.
See, Amanda, you're
nobody
right on.
Nobody expected him to go down and stay down, really, did they, with Trump? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was always going to keep coming back at us. But I would be really shocked if he comes back in. Really shocked, but he's not.
That what might leave in the minds of some of our viewers and listeners a connotation of which would be inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole COVID thing that Biden's been dealing with, he's very much sorted things there in the U.S. in, you know, trying to keep everybody happy and tackling the virus head on. Whereas with Trump, you know, it was just chaos all the time with it. And, you know, some people could argue, well, okay, so, yeah, just like any other president that comes after somebody else leaves, there, you know, it's easy for them to tie up ends of something that, you know, the previous president was struggling with. I don't know. I don't know so much. I think Biden's done an amazing job.
For that.
No. But, yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Let's see if we have... Yeah.
The district attorney's office has millions of pages of documents.
Yeah, this one, I'm going to play it in a second. The let me just rehash that. We were just talking about, you know, obviously Nixon's very accurate comments regarding our what we have to say here on the show. I think he's right on board. You know, we've reached out to Nixon before, and he's been very good, very supportive, you know, I think, from where he is. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
We thank him for that. But what we had played was, of course, Trump out there talking about the country falling apart and Wuhan and what a bad doctor Fauci is. Good guy, but lousy doctor is what he said. The election being corrupt and the worst in history regarding its calculation of the votes, which has all been debunked. And he's out there talking about it again. But he has some issues. He has some issues, and that's what needs to be addressed. That's what those people who are applauding need to hear, this.
So I guess the easiest way to explain it is to put it into an example, and that would be assuming that it's like a small bank. Donald Trump would be the president of the bank. Alan Weisselberg would be the branch manager, and Jeff McConney would be the teller. Every single transaction that was done in and out of any of the banking went through Jeff McConney. He worked specifically and directly for Alan Weisselberg. In fact, the only person that can sign off on any of that would be Donald himself, and it would come through Alan's desk, which is why I said that every single transaction went through Alan's desk, but they were then keyed in or out of the bank accounts through Jeff McConney. It's not good news. It's not good news for Donald. It's not good news for the Trump organization. And it's definitively not good news for Alan Weisselberg. And here's the reason why. Everybody stays tough. You want to stay on message, which is what Donald is telling them to do, until such time as they drop the bomb on you, meaning whether for me it was the SDNY, this case it'll be the district attorney or the attorney general, whether it's for Jeff McConney or for Alan Weisselberg. You see, the problem is that they have so much documentary evidence right now in their possession that no matter what lies you try to promote, it's going to be met with resistance because there's documents that show the exact opposite. And of course, if you lie to them, then you're going to get hit with another violation and it's another crime. So things aren't really looking very good for, you know, Trump, for Weisselberg, or even Jeff McConney at this moment. Remember, Donald was very smart in terms of listening to the one person I think his entire life he actually listened to all the time, and that was Roy Cohn. When he said to Donald, make sure that you have no fingerprints on anything, which is why Donald never had an email address. But then again, what's the big deal? The document is the document. And the fact that they sent it to me, or they sent it to Rona Graff, or they sent it to Alan Garten, or to Alan Weisselberger, whoever in the company, it makes no difference. It's all about, hey, take this to Donald, ask him what he thinks. You would take it to Donald, he'd tell you what he thought, then you would do what he was, you were told to do, to go see whoever else you needed to see. And that's how the transactions work there. Every single transaction, from the acquisition of a pen all the way to the acquisition of a piece of property, all had to be approved by Donald first.
So what we're talking about is the fact that the Trump Organization went to bank loan institutions and presented a set of financials which disagreed with the set of financials they turned into the IRS. And both of those individually are felonies. And of course we've talked and it's been noted and everybody knows at this point that a grand jury panel has been convened and they'll bring appropriate witnesses. There's no defense counsel in a grand jury hearing. The district attorneys can throw everything they have at the witnesses with no rebuttal from a defense. And if you lie to a grand jury, if you lie in court anywhere, but if you lie to a grand jury, the penalties are severe. And they've already subpoenaed Jeff McCanney, who worked under Weisselberg. I think he does work. He's still there, yeah, at the Trump Organization. Yeah. As Michael Cohen, of course, we know Michael Cohen was the fixer for Donald Trump, his former confidant and attorney, the guy who passed the $130,000 payment from Donald Trump over to Stormy Daniels. Why would he pay a porn star $130,000 just for kindness? Come on. Anyway, really.
Yeah.
And so that, there's all sorts of things. We have a caller here. Let's see who this caller is. Give me a second. Let's see who this is. Ba-da-da. All right, we're there. Hello, Lisa.
Hey, Andy, how are you?
Doing great.
Hey.
You're on Andy and Amanda program.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good, darling. How are you?
I'm great, love. I figured I'd call in. I had a few minutes to hang out with you guys this afternoon.
Oh, bless you. It's nice to have you on the show, sweetheart. Everything going good at your end?
Yeah, everything's great. I have my fire pit done, so I'm ready to toast some marshmallows.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome.
I love it.
You throw some our way, won't you?
There you go. Some wine and some marshmallows. There we go, Andy.
I love marshmallows. I love barbecues. I love camping. I love the fire pits, the whole thing.
Yeah. Fire pits are epic. They are absolutely epic. I could spend hours in front of a fire. Just so much fun. There's something very enchanting about a fire. Right?
Definitely.
So we're having this conversation here about, of course, again, about Donald Trump. It just came up because he's back in the news again. We didn't force that. He's back in the news. We talk about what's in the news, and very unfortunately, he's back in the news again. I thought we were done with this guy. You know, the theme of the show is we started with the great rendition of If I Had My Way by Peter Paul Mary, is If I Had My Way. And if you look at former presidents, where they ran two terms, 8 years, or were voted out after one term, after they resumed their life as a citizen, they pretty much took a back seat. They go about their business, they write their memoirs, they fund their libraries, whatever it might be, and they have very little commentary regarding what the administration that succeeded took office after their term was doing, and rightfully so, out of respect, and there's Donald Trump out there campaigning like he's still campaigning. The election's over, that the election was stolen, that the country's falling apart before our very eyes, that he won the election. It's a big, and promoting this lie that, you ready for this? 3 in 10 Republicans somehow believe that he's going to be reinstated by August.
What? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Yep. Now, crazy. Now, here's what I feel about that. Here's how I feel about polls in general. First of all, if you believe polls, Hillary Clinton would have won in 2016, right? Okay. Mm. So I have never, and maybe Lisa, let me know, and Amanda, you let me know as well. I've never been polled. Nobody called me and said, first of all, if you're Republican, and if you are, do you believe that Trump is going to be, you know, reinstated? And I don't know anybody who ever was. So when you say 3 in 10, is it? You know, I refuse, I could be wrong, but I refuse to believe that the percentage of Americans is indeed that stupid.
Well, that's where you get into conspiracy territory, isn't it? Because there'll be many people who say, well, those statistics can easily be manipulated when it comes to, you know, kind of like a backhander, making things happen within government. You know, I think we, as a people, tend to watch so many movies, and so many movies, there's always that conspiracy within government of making things happen, you know, to make the government more powerful and things to work out for them. And I'm sure many, many people have that idea of how government is and operates that way today. But whether that's true or not, I'm not going to put that out there, because I kind of sit on the fence with everything. I'm one of those open-minded people, and I don't like to say and stand firmly in one place or the other. I like to view life from an open perspective. That way it keeps everything interesting for me, and just allows me to observe the facts from a more grounded place. So, you know, you'll have those people argue that yeah, those statistics can easily be manipulated. However, whether they are or not, I don't know. But, you know, when we were talking about this, Andy, that's a classic example of, are they? Are they being manipulated?
Yeah.
Is it accurate? It just doesn't seem very logical.
It doesn't. I mean, there is no provision. There's no possibility. There is no platform for a former president to be reinstated who lost an election. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It is impossible, 100% impossible for that to happen.
Yeah.
So where does this come from? Somehow the votes, the 7 million votes are going to be turned around, and suddenly you're going to see them all in Trump's favor, and it was all rigged, and the voting machines were all corrupt, and all these people really didn't vote for Joe Biden. They all vote for Donald Trump. I mean, this Donald Trump has the most unfavorable popularity ratings, or among the most unfavorable popularity ratings in our nation's history of any president we've ever had. In the tank, right? So those numbers – and he knew of those numbers going into it. He knew – that those numbers were not in his favor way in advance of the election. So what does he do? He starts the big lie. Nobody else did. It came from him. Hey, the only way the Democrats are going to win if they steal this election, if this election is rigged. He started this whole thing because he saw the numbers, and he realized that the chances of his reelection were very slim to none. Way out. He's not a stupid guy. Well, that's subject to interpretation. He's not a stupid guy.
Yeah, right? He does come across as a bit of a clown, but yes, he knows what he's doing.
And he knew that his numbers were absolutely right down there. You know what I'm saying?
Somewhere I wouldn't want to be.
Yeah. So he started this whole deal, and it's still, and Biden won the election. And it was no surprise. It was no surprise that Trump was going to lose. It was widely publicized. All the polls, every single poll except Trump's own poll, every single poll, way before the election, way out in advance of the election, said that Trump was going to lose. Now, again, if you go back to 2016, and you kind of say, well, they said the same thing about Hillary, we're going to win.
Right.
And that was why she lost, by the way. That was why she lost. Because every poll said there's no way Trump's going to win this thing, so people didn't vote. I don't know. I got home late from work, a little tired. Yeah, a little rainy out there. Yeah, stand in line. Yeah, you know, Hillary's got this deal, and bam. The turnout was horrible, and Trump got in. We did that. Trump didn't do it. Trump didn't put himself in office. We did that. We did it.
And, it's kind of a tactic, though, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. And come 2020, and we made it possible. This country, the people who we put in office, made it possible for everybody and encouraged everybody to vote. We're going to make it possible for everybody. Whether you vote for Trump or Biden or your local or your regional elections, of course, there's other elections going on besides the presidential election, right? We're going to make it very, especially with the coronavirus hanging over our shoulders, right? We're going to make it work for everybody. You can vote. Open up. You can vote early. We're going to open up the, you know, vote by mail, ballot boxes. And all the returns were so heavily scrutinized, were so heavily investigated, were recounted where need be, and it was determined by our own Department of Justice and others, and the Supreme Court, and local courts, and state courts, and federal courts, and wherever, everybody said, you know what?
Yeah.
There is no evidence of fraud. There is no evidence of this election being fictitious. Biden did win this election by a lot, by Trump's own definition of a landslide. That's how much Biden won this election. And now they're going out and saying, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It still feels like I'm in some sort of theatrical play with all of this.
Mm.
Because I can't believe this is still going on with Trump. You know, Biden's got in. I still feel like we're part of the past. With it all, you know, I don't feel like we're making much progress in that sense. Yeah, Biden is taking us forward in so many ways. He's advancing the country in so many ways, and hats off to him because he's doing a marvelous job. But I can't believe we're still caught up in this whole parade.
I can't either. You
know. No. What about you, Lisa?
I agree with you, Amanda. I'm wondering myself as I'm listening earlier why. Are we even talking about Trump? I mean, previous presidents, as Andy said, they just went off and write their memoirs or go play golf.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 8 months later, and we're still hearing about Donald Trump? Seriously?
Is out of the Trump campaign. This is why. This is why.
We are executing on our plan.
Okay.
What plan is that?
I was going to say, Trump's still playing golf, right? He hasn't given that up.
Unreal. Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, it seems like I'm constantly attacking the guy. I mean, I've said this before time and time again. Our Trump fans out there, you know, please understand that we respect his, you know, his motivation and his determination. Sure, but we don't respect him in the way he's kind of manipulated and screwed things up within the system. I apologize, Andy, if I'm speaking for you, darling.
No, but you're doing such a good job of it. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Past conversations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do that for my internet hubby. I apologize. Sometimes he speaks for me, too. So
it's really hard.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just play also... Anyway...
Oh, yeah, that's a very familiar sound.
One that I don't get to hear too much of. No, anyway,
here I come, save the day.
Yeah, I need it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're good at that too, Andy, yeah.
Yeah. What am I good at?
Question you should ask China.
I try.
Well, I could list many things you're good at, Andy.
Oh.
Are you ready to blush? Oh my goodness! There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guys, I gotta tell you. We're still in chaos over here with this whole COVID thing. You know, have you guys heard about what's happening here with the COVID?
Do tell. I heard. Catch us up.
The cases are rising above 1,000 again in the UK.
Jeez.
So they're calling that Indian variant now the Delta variant, you know, giving it a powerful name, Delta. It's the Delta variant. And it's coming to kick your ass. Sorry, no, it isn't. No, sorry. Yeah, we've got over 1,000 cases, and they've dropped the ages to have vaccinations, and they're concerned about bringing us completely out of lockdown. So I think delaying the inevitable on June 21st is going to be a thing. And so they're pushing testing, of course, in various parts of England and stuff like that. So we're going to see what happens with that. It's going to get worse. Boris Johnson predicted it. He said we're going to have a third wave because of summer, of course, with the heat and everything like that. And Andy knows more about the scientific side of that. But we all know as well, different temperatures at different times of year. The flu is classic sign for, you know, having more of the flu at certain times of the year. So I think it's been inevitable for the UK, but they're trying to get on top of it as much as they can. And there's been talk about the US having more cases of this variant as well. So yeah. I think they're going to have to be careful there. So we're trying to be very vigilant and try to play this, come out of lockdown very safe. And we just want it all over and done with already. I mean,
we do. Here's the interesting statistic. In the UK, Amanda, in your backyard there, today, as of the last hour, what was that? That would have been 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. your time. It was 7,540 new cases in the UK alone.
Wow.
Today.
Okay.
However, 6 new deaths. 6.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's still small numbers, but it's increasing. Yeah.
The amount of cases is what we have to look at because, unfortunately, that death rate will increase with the new cases, but at a much lower percentage rate than it had previously because of the vaccine and more people are being more vigilant regarding the masks. But in the United States, today, there's 3,898. Listen, again, U.S. today, UK today, all right, 7,540. In the USA, 3,898. Just what you're saying, Amanda, and the numbers support what you just said.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
In the US, Andy, be careful.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I was going to ask, in California there, are the majority of people not wearing masks? Or I know it's if you're not vaccinated, but you don't know who's vaccinated. So I know here in North Carolina, I'd say at least 50% people are not wearing masks. I don't know if that means they're vaccinated or not.
Yeah, here's the deal, I think. And I think this is pretty much prevalent across the United States and several places around. It, just what Amanda said, where people are tired of this. We're done. You know, is this real? Can we just forget about this? Can we make this go away? And we're seeing a lot of people loosen up what they would normally be doing to protect themselves and thereby protecting others, of course. But here's the thing. In California, like what you're just asking, Lisa, I don't wear a mask outside anymore. When I get outside of my car, I do not put on a mask until I go indoors into the business, which usually is a sign on the door that says mask required. Restaurants are open to a limited capacity indoor dining, and patios are all over the place. And it's kind of neat how all these patios expanded into the streets and sidewalks.
It's kind of charming, actually.
June 15th, California is supposed to open up 100%. Now, if a business requires that somebody to walk into that privately owned business, they can require you to wear a mask or you can't go in. And that's up to the business. I'm vaccinated. I was in the first round. I got vaccinated back in January, second vaccination, February 11th, 2 weeks after that, bam, I'm considered, you know, I'm done. Here's the interesting thing about that. And most, by the way, California is leading the way in terms of vaccinations. Most of the population in California is vaccinated. It's pretty cool what's happening here. Leave it to the fifth largest economy in the world, this one state where I live, California, to lead the way.
Yeah.
Now, there are pockets of people who say it's
my right not to wear a mask. It's my right not to get a vaccine. My right to go infect other people.
Yeah, you're right. As we said in the last show, I remember listening to this in the last show as I listened to it, and it said, hey, also, buddy, you know, a gal, man, whatever, you can go into an airplane. Who says it's not your right to light up a cigarette in an airplane, smoke a cigar in a restaurant? You can't do it, and you don't do it, do you? Right? You can't wear a mask, but you don't, right? Okay. So, but this is about, okay, if you want to risk your life and get infected and get very sick, and or die, how about those around you? Do you care about them at all, that you can infect somebody and maybe not even come down with symptoms and still carry this, spread it to somebody else, they could get sick, they could spread it to somebody else. But, you know, this isn't anything new. This has been going on for years. It's nothing new what I'm saying right now, right?
Yeah.
We all know this. Okay,
yeah.
So given that, though, We are falling short of the president's hopes and desires that we hit that 70% mark on July by on or before July 4th. We're going to fall short of that. And I think we're in the 60 percentiles right now, in the 63, but at least people have gotten one vaccine on the way to the second one. But we will not hit that 70% mark by July 4th. We will hit it just a little later, you know. And what happens on that 70% mark is we have enough of the community, enough of the population to put in process what's called herd immunity, where we have this virus that spreads from person to person just has nowhere to go. It's got nowhere to go, and it dissipates over time. With so many people are immune to this thing, it can bounce around all at once like a ping pong ball or one of those what do you call those games where you pull the thing and you what do you call the game you pull the thing and the ball goes around, you hit the flippers?
Oh, pinball machine.
Are these fucking people kidding me?
I was going to say like a bowling alley. No.
I can see the logic.
thank you. But imagine the virus being the little ball in the pinball machine getting batted around. Boom, 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 and it can't go anywhere. Boom, 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 ball got nowhere to go. Everybody's immune, and it just slowly fizzles out. Or you know, the interesting thing is, a month ago, they're saying, hey, there's new statistics that say this vaccine can last 6 months.
I'm like, wait, whoa, back up a bit, back up.
I thought when this vaccine was introduced, you get a vaccine, you get your second dose. That's before the J&J vaccine. You get your second dose, and you're good. They didn't say it was good for a amount of months. They said you're good.
Yeah.
And now they're saying 6 months.
Well, yeah, it was scientists, wasn't there? Going CDC? Back, that it was just 3 months. That which is crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like they didn't really tell us what was going on, or maybe they just didn't know how long it lasted until enough testing had taken place. I don't know.
Latest CDC, 6 months or more. Okay, well, they don't know for sure. They don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah. Nobody knows. They're going to be regular shots, whatever it is, definitely. Yeah.
But getting back to what Lisa was saying is that, yes, fewer people are wearing masks. A much larger percentage of the population is vaccinated. And you might be seeing a result of that, Lisa, when you in the Carolinas. Carolinas were being and the South in general was being stubborn about wearing masks and about being vaccinated. So
that's because you're in Trump country.
Yeah.
You know. They got flags flying with Trump 2020 still in people's yards. And I'm like, really? Can you take that flag down, please?
Oh my God.
You know, Wow.
Yeah, we're in the South, South Carolina, Georgia, all the same.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
North South Carolina, definitely.
Mm.
Wow.
In the age range of 65 to 74, 26,131,232 people, or 82.76% of the population, received at least one dose, 82.73%. Fully vaccinated, and this is just this age range, 65 to 74, 72.43. So in that age range by itself, we've exceeded Joe Biden's hopes in the 65 to 74. If you go down to, let's just say, 25 to 39, 36.78, fully vaccinated, 40 to 49, 45% of the population, 50 to 54, 56% of the population, 75% older, 70% of the population. We're seeing increasing numbers in the 18 to 24 range, 30%. 16 to 17 kids, 24%. 12 to 15-year-olds, it's down there around 5%. But these numbers are great. And let's look at 40 to 49, big percent of the population, 45%, both, right? In one vaccine, which means they're on the way to getting the second one, right? 55%. Yeah. So that's the number I like to look at. Within a couple weeks, they're going to get that second dose. So will we be behind Biden's hopes and desires a little bit, you know, a little bit, but not far. We're on our way.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we're on our way out. Man.
We are. Wow.
We're on our way out. Lisa, thank you for calling in. Don't be a stranger. And, you know, I'm sorry for ranting and raving, but there's the headlines that we don't make the news. We report on what the news is and talk about it. And unfortunately, these things are in the news. Gun control, Trump. You know, coronavirus, vaccines, That's what's in the news. And sometimes we do disregard the news. And we've had shows where we just don't talk about it. I kind of like in those shows, but, you know, at least once a week, you've got to throw in the news. And that's usually the Wednesday show. So thank everybody for chiming in. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us. And we're back Friday. We're
later,
all,
man.
Thank you, Sweetheart, for calling in. Take care, sweetie.
All right, Andy, you too. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your call. Always welcome. You're always welcome to call. Thank you.
And okay, we'll love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now.
Take care.
We'll be back with you folks again on Friday, same time, same channel, wherever you listen to this podcast from, or if you listen to us live on Block Talk Radio. Thank you for listening to our show. And like Lisa, you can call in 515-605-9888 on our Friday show, where we promise not to talk about the news unless we really have to.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Damn straight, God damn it. And let's keep this, let's keep the theme. If I had my way for Friday's show, what would the world look like? If I had my way, I would tear this spinny. Hey, you and I should do that as a duo. We should like open the show with you and I singing that tune. You know,
yeah, that'd be very cool.
That will scare everybody away right away, at least from my end. And,
I don't know. I think I'm more than capable.
You are capable. I'm not. You are. Hey,
no, I mean,
I got to tell you something
away.
Real quick. Yeah, I got some band members coming up to talk to come to my house. We're going over some things. That amazing band. Real quick, I'm a musician. That's what I really do. And Amanda is an amazing composer. If I had half the talent she does, I'd probably be, you know, at least hosting Lawrence Welk show.
You do have the talent.
But I love how you say that. Oh, Andy, I love that. Anyway, okay, so.
Andy.
Yeah. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could just listen to that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so I showed up to the venue with this amazing group of musicians have assembled on the job, and they had some turmoil in internally in the band. And I showed up Saturday, and there was no band, no seats, no outdoor stage, no nothing. To find out that the band just pulled a no-show for Friday and Saturday, and I played with these guys. I sat in and played. It was great. The energy level was amazing. They, you know, so a couple of the guys from the band are coming to my house today, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the deal is and to see if there's, you know, we'll see. I'll keep you know, could lead to something pretty cool, and I won't talk much more than that right now about me and an amazing group of musicians. And what I want you to do, and Amanda looked this name up, and I want to push this name because he's amazing, he's award-winning, he's incredible, he's toured with Paul Simon, he's toured with John Legend, he's worked with Jackson Brown and so many others. His name is Rashid, R-A-S-H-I-D, Rashid, Rashid.
R-A-S-H-I-D.
I-D, Rashid, his last name is Laney, L-A-N-I-E. Google that name.
L-A-N-I-E. Oh, okay. Yeah. Film composer.
Yes. That who was jamming with, he's coming over to my house in a couple hours.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, look at some of those things. His profile, his awards, his music. Yeah. He's amazing.
Wow.
He's amazing. Internationally acclaimed composer and arranger. And to see
him play,
and Amanda, you play keyboards, to see this guy play,
blow you away. Wow.
Nothing he can't do. And from Stevie Wonder to jazz, to rock, to folk, to barrel house, you know, Mississippi blues. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Oprah, Ali McBeal. Oh, wow. I was a big fan of Ali McBeal. That's amazing.
Yeah. So he's going to be in my house, Rashid Laney, in the house in an hour and a half. Maybe we'll interview him. I'm going to set him up for an interview on our show.
That would be amazing. Yes,
yeah.
Do that.
All right.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. So anyway, it's good to talk about other things outside the news. I'm enjoying this. Okay. Anyway.
I agree.
Now we can actually get into the show. Now we can actually have a real, you know, now we can kind of have a regular show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We can talk about what we really like doing.
On Top Writing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I never saw you as that kind of guy, but yeah.
Oh, God. Don't get me started. Oh, my God.
It's all coming out now, Mr. Kimball.
Oof, God. I sound like that audio track. Oof, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
I have to get out and do what I really like to do.
You got to think of it all, too.
Oh, another thing coming to the surface. Interesting.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know what you mean about, yeah, I mean, talking about the news is one thing, isn't it? And, you know, you get into that state of commenting on it and what you feel, and it bothers us all. But then when you start not talking about the news, it's like,
isn't it just like a sense of just like relief, like a sense of just like, wow, we got to dive into those things. But now that we're over it, kind of like behind us, isn't it kind of like, oh, yes.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. And to be honest, there was way more news that I could have covered. But it's like, it's a breath of fresh air to step away from it. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a story I will share on the next.
Go ahead.
Maybe not Friday next, show. Maybe
you say next month.
Monday.
Next month.
Monday. No, next month.
Monday.
Really old news by then.
Wait.
Yeah, Monday. I'll share it Monday.
I'll just share it Friday.
Fascinating.
You can share it now if you want.
Ready? Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Why wait? Go ahead. We're here. Just us.
Oh. Okay. I just find it fascinating for our especially our UK audience because it's based on a athlete here, a well-known athlete who was a big deal. So basically, it was around a police officer who was charged, okay? Because you guys know that just lately we've had a lot of police officers being attacked and questioned and arrested for various things. Well, it seems we've got a naughty, naughty police force at the moment. Not all of them. I'm not branding them all the same, you know. Same deal with it.
Yeah, we've had our issues with corrupt cops here too, remember, you know.
Yeah.
Needless to mention George Floyd. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, of course. So PC Benjamin Monk, okay, has been currently on trial for the murder of Dalian. I think it's Dalian or Delane. I'm not sure how they pronounce his name. Atkinson. So this was back in 2016. So he was a footballer of a soccer player, as you guys know him. And he played for some really big teams here in the UK, like Aston Villa, Ipswich Town, and Sheffield Wednesday. And so PC Benjamin and his co-worker, PC Mary Ellen Bentley Smith, were called to an address after reports from neighbours came in saying that he was acting strangely, shouting on the street and things like that. So when the officers arrived, PC Monk attempted to deploy his taser at Atkinson. Opened the door of his father's home, acting erratically and claiming to be the Messiah. This is why I find this story really interesting. So, unfortunately, the taser was unsuccessful, and the PC's fear was absolutely going through the roof. He moved back to the edge of the drive, where he tried to load the second taser cartridge, and the device failed. PC Benjamin's thoughts were, shit, we're done for, you know? He ran for his life, which is something he had never done before in his 14-year career. He said he was very, very, very scared and when his device failed. And Atkinson pursued the officers down the driveway before smashing a pane of glass in his father's front door. And PC Benjamin at that time was in a relationship with his co-worker. He wanted to protect the man inside the house, and so he aimed his taser at Atkinson for a third time. Only this time, he overrode the taser system by holding down the trigger for 33 seconds, which is more than six times the standard deployment, okay? And he had never fired a taser before in his life. Said he had no idea how long he fired it for. But he felt this huge relief when Atkinson fell to the ground. And he thought he was trying to get back up, so he kicked him. And he claims that he kicked him in the shoulder, but reports suggest that he was kicked in the head at least twice, with the force to leave imprints from his bootlaces. So it was said that he told his colleagues at the scene in the immediate aftermath that he had to kick him in the head. And so PC Benjamin thought if he got back up that they were going to die. And on a scale of, you know, how deadly the kick was, it was about a 4 out of 10, apparently. But so, you know, this happened just after, an hour after the confrontation that he told the police about, you know, that he kicked him and stuff. And so, unfortunately, it was within that hour later that Atkinson died in hospital. And
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, after hearing the news, like, PZ Benjamin was just absolutely devastated. And
But, you know, he's
still under trial for all that. And but it was just crazy about the whole Messiah thing. I was picturing it in my head. This football player.
Wow.
I wonder what happened. Weird. Very weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
I should have told that story in a spooky kind of way, because that would have been funny.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like...
The second. The third.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, that's
like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I have to say?
What?
I have to go out, and I will not be back until after sundown tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I'll make sure that you have supper on the table, and
thank you.
I'll give you a cone of beer.
what a nice internet wife you are. Thank you so much. Everybody, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure. This is the midweek show. We're on again on Friday. And thank you again for everybody listening to the podcast. And we've enjoyed having you on board listening to the podcast across the many channels that we are. And email us. Let us know what you think at andyandamandyashow@gmail.com. What are we doing right? What are we not doing right? You know, spread the word what we're doing here. Our listenership is increasing like crazy. It's wonderful. Great to see. We don't know exactly what we're doing, but given that, our numbers are really really impressive to us anyway. You know, we have 3 people listening.
Yeah.
It's great.
Very
so
thankful.
Listen, we have 3 people listening instead of 2. Wonderful. What, you know, it's a 1/3% increase over a year and a half. It's great. No, but really, folks, thank you very much for listening. We do appreciate it. Again, our number to join us live is 515-605-9888. Email andyandamandyashow@gmail.com. Let's get out of here, Amanda. Go ahead and take us home.
Absolutely. Okay, so on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, awesome co-host, and myself, Amanda Love, the quirky one here in the UK.
No.
thank you for joining us for another show, and we hope you enjoyed it. We're a little serious today, but you know, we still have fun doing it, and hopefully you enjoyed the information that we shared. And if you feel passionate about it, call us, email us, you know, get hold of us, let us know, and join us again for Friday. I think we've got a guest, right, Andy? Friday?
We do. Oh my God, we should talk about that. Joe Johnson, former Harlem Globetrotter, Washington Generals coach and manager, Harlem Globetrotters, current member and coach of the Philadelphia 76ers organization, working with the Delaware minor league team of the Philadelphia 76ers. He was on the show before. He's great. What energy. Great guy. Really knowledgeable. We'll share so much insight and some fun about the Harlem Globetrotters. Tune in to Friday's show. Yes. And that's next reminding me. That's going to be at...
Okay.
At noontime, West Coast, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, and of course, 8 p.m. there in the UK. Joe Johnson, our special guest on Friday. Really looking forward to having him back on board. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, guys. Well, thank you again for joining us. We love you, and join us on Friday.
We'll see you then, folks. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
You know, if you see me now, I'll always have 6, 7, 8, or 9. Oh, don't you leave me here. Don't you leave me here. Well, now, pretty baby, I said, and if you go, leave me a dime for beer. Thank you. know that rooster crow. And I said his hen run round.